Good evening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm Jill Spears, your host, with my favorite gardeners, Lance and Lulu, here tonight.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We're here because we're not all there. I swear to God.
I'll go with that tonight.
Holy mackerel.
And we've started to get a little rain out there, moisture.
Yes, nice.
Some weather moving in. Pretty darn exciting. Mm-hmm. And just in time because you're cleaning out the garden.
Actually, yep. I have stuff I still want to dry out.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I might not be.
But that's you can't do anything about it. No. Enjoy it.
Right.
I actually put water on the garden a little bit today so I would get a nice soaking, so it would really soak in to the soil. Because, you know, because this is it, really. I mean, probably. The irrigation water is going to go off any minute. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Lance is always saying, yeah, water. Yeah, well.
Well, if you don't have it.
Yeah, if you don't have it, you can't water. So.
But what Lulu's doing is if you moisten the ground and then it rains, it actually soaks in better.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
There's moisture.
It's
absorb
ready
it.
It's ready to accept the moisture instead of just running. Well, we hear it all the time, you know, the burn scars when they, just wash away and stuff.
Right.
So it's all good.
It's feeling good out there.
Mm-hmm. It's fabulous.
527-486-8866, KVNF Now. Those are the phone numbers. You can call in because we're live, and Jeff is in the control room. And also letting us know that Equinox is this Thursday, 7:03 p.m.
The Equinox.
Yeah.
Wait, a hush fell over the crowd. Isn't it? What's today? The 20th?
Today is
the 22nd.
It's the 22nd.
First day of autumn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think today's something like National Gratitude Day or National Kindness Day. Right up your alley.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is just by chance that on the spring and fall equinox, the sun goes straight in my bathroom window into the bedroom.
Just by chance?
Yeah. It's only that one day.
You can't fool me. That's a old Zuni.
Zuni,
Kelvin. I was going to say, too.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
I see the Zuni in you.
It took me a while to figure out that happens.
Yeah, let me know. That's super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. You know what else? The hummingbirds split.
Right. You guys both took note of that.
Yeah, we both came in here going, yeah, hummingbirds are gone. Yeah. I think of course, I just put more in my feeder because I had the last couple hanging out 2 days ago, and I just knew. I knew they were out of here, and they were.
What do you think timing-wise? Is that early?
No, it's right on schedule.
It's right on schedule?
Yeah.
All right. And
they almost made a liar out of me because I had some friends visiting the garden, I haven't seen any hummingbirds for 4 or 5 days, and three swooped in for the last bit then.
Yeah, right. Well, they were coming in from up valley, from my house. They were coming through. You got to wonder, God, how do they do it? I don't know. And they must have had a plan because this storm is going to set them back.
Right.
You know,
so they had to have known.
Or maybe they know that the desert will bloom right after that and they'll get another, 50 miles on.
Right.
Desert blooming flowers or something.
Love to be on that journey. Just see what happens.
Just to know. Mm-hmm.
Talk about blooming. A ton of asters out there blooming. Just still some flowers out there.
Autumn sedum. Mm-hmm. It's a pink. And it just gets pinker, more burgundy as it goes along. And the insects really, really like that.
And then it dries out and it gets that lovely burgundy brownie color. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really nice.
And that Maximilian sunflowers are now blooming.
Oh, right. Those are all over the place, too. Mm-hmm. Those are gorgeous.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of them, and they're just going off. And what else? The phlox in my yard, I cut them back, and so they're still going. There's, I don't know. You know, it's been a different kind of year. There's no question. I have so much food sitting in my kitchen that I have to do something with.
And so you brought in some beautiful pears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, it's astonishing.
that is what's nice too about that is just being able to share that with people. You mm-hmm. know, people that yeah. share their bounty, whether it's right off the tree or out of the garden or some delectable recipe
yeah.
that
yeah.
canned for yep. you. And
yep. Uh-huh.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I was making pear jam the other day, and I was all real careful about keeping the lids dry because I was figured out that that's why I wasn't getting a seal on some of my other ones. And so I was all real careful about it. And then I checked the seals. Son of a gun, two of them, the condensation was because when as the pears were cooling, whatever liquid was in them, pear jam, condensed on the lids and caused them to not seal.
Oh,
it
no.
was wild.
Darn.
Yeah. So that was wild. So now I got to figure that one out. But, you know.
You got a whole conveyor process going in there, production line.
Yeah, just yep. with this peaches right now.
Now you're on peaches.
Yeah,
nice.
I'm on peaches.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the peach crop was awesome mm-hmm. this year.
Mm-hmm.
And your melons, Lance, those are amazing. Just
yeah,
so
those,
much
those are Heijins. So, at least I think that's how you pronounce it.
Heijins?
The green fleshed melon mm-hmm.
yeah.
from the Middle East.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, those.
Delicious.
And you know what else? Okay, so... You know how I say in the spring, if your hollyhocks are looking shabby, cut them down to the ground? Well, I didn't do that with all my hollyhocks this spring because I don't know why I didn't do it, but mm-hmm. I didn't. And then I did with some. If you cut your hollyhocks back in the spring when they're starting to get that rust on them and you just are merciless and you just get rid of it and then get rid of the stems and the debris that you just cut down... Feed them a lot, and in the fall, right now, you will get the most beautiful hollyhocks
mm-hmm.
ever. I mean, they just are gorgeous and radiant. I have a white one.
Oh, uh-huh. Nice.
Yeah, it's really cool. But you got to have the nerve to cut them,
mm-hmm.
to just take all the leaves, everything,
mm-hmm.
get rid of them. And then they're stumpy, you know, they're not big and tall, but. The flowers.
Yeah. There's
are
a
exquisite.
Yeah, you get a lot of good results when you have the gall
yeah,
to.
You have to just go for it.
Yeah, the go for it. You know, mm-hmm. and I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen? It doesn't come out. Oh well, mm-hmm. so what? You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw a guy in town today hacking and whacking his trumpet vine that was all around the mailbox.
Oh.
He's been going at it for about 2 days now. Is there other stuff we should be cutting down as we get into the end of the season here?
Only if it's
in
your way.
Go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's the real tricky thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to cut down everything that has seeds in it. My sunflowers are spent, my 12, 14-foot tall mm-hmm. sunflowers. Mm-hmm. You don't want to cut them down just because they look really bad right now. Because the birds are feeding on them.
Sure,
yeah.
You mm-hmm. know, and... So if it's in your way, get rid of it.
Nothing's going to stop that trumpet vine.
Nothing.
Right.
You know,
it took me years and paving over the area where it was going to get rid of it.
Yeah.
That was
radical. Nothing is going to stop that. But you just got to...
I'm not going to tell him that.
If you need something's in your way, prune it. It's better to prune things in the spring. You know, just because if it's mm-hmm. a hard, cold winter, it might that cold might go down that... Cut.
Yeah.
And that's all it is.
Yeah.
So.
All right. We've got a caller from St. Michael's, Maryland. It's Don on the line. Good evening, Don.
Hey, good evening, Worms. How is everybody?
We're doing
We're
well.
Doing
How are you?
Great.
I'm doing great. I'm calling you for my first call in from the East Coast. So I've been in the Rockies and the West Coast, and now I'm over here. And,
you get around.
Sad. Did I see you driving around Hotchkiss, Redlands Mesa?
Uh-huh. Yeah, my truck gives me away.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Well, good to hear from you from way over there on the East Coast. What's going on?
Well, definitely happy fall equinox, and the hummingbirds are still gathered around my mom's feeder over here, having a good old time. So it's definitely kind of confusing traveling this much. And I've learned a bunch of new tomato pests over here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, the stink bugs over here get them, and they've got the proboscis, and they like to go and poke all the tomatoes. And you can kind of still eat them, but if you wait too long, they rot really quick over here. They don't seem to last.
Wow.
I wonder if that's humidity.
Yeah, humidity and right. everything else. Everything's a little moldier and funkier.
Right.
You know? But that's why it's so green.
What else are you growing, Don?
Well, the tomatoes are at my dad's place. Other than that, they do a lot of soybeans over here and sorghum and corn, and there isn't any irrigation set up.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, so that's a big difference. That I guess that started maybe somewhere in the Midwest. I rode the train. Mm. And at some cool. point, there just were no more irrigation pivots all the way but to the East Coast.
Yeah.
Wow, fascinating.
Now, what kind of sorghum?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah. Could it be for sorghum syrup? Or is it sorghum for grain? Mm. Maybe we lost him.
No, I'm still here. I honestly don't know.
Okay.
It's not a crop that I remember that they grew here when I was younger, and I think it's kind of a newer crop that cycled in here to the eastern shore of Maryland.
Hmm. Huh. Well, there you have it. Yeah.
A lot different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, I was just listening online, and I had to call in just to chime in and tell you guys that I still very much love the show, and I'll be heading back to Delta County. I really miss the community vibe over there, and congratulations on getting some rain.
All right.
Yay, okay, yes.
Don.
Thanks,
all right,
Don.
Great to hear from you.
Good to hear
you
from you.
Hurry home.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks right. a lot. I'll all talk right. to you sometime
thanks for
soon.
The call.
Okay.
All righty. Good
safe
deal.
Journeys.
Oh, great. Yeah, he's called us from mm-hmm. Redlands, from Washington State.
And he sent us a postcard from Washington
State. Yeah. yeah, so appreciate that connection there. 527-4868-866, KVNF now, and Sue from Ridgeway is on the line. Hello, Ridgeway Sue.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hi, Sue.
Good. Lulu, I'm kind of jealous because I can't make it up there on Saturday, but there's been a PSA running about a canning and preservation workshop through the Delta Libraries this Saturday. That you guys have been running the PSA on?
Is it in and Cedar Edge?
I think
it's
Cedar
in Cedar Edge. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they could answer your canning question.
Probably. Yeah, I bet they could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about the lid.
Yeah, about
that
the pears.
I just was doing some beans and one of mine didn't do either. And I was like, oh, you know.
Don't you hate that?
I know.
Hate that.
Then it just fills up your
struggling.
Fridge instead yeah. of your larder.
Yeah, uh-huh. yeah. And you got to yeah. eat it yesterday, you know, but that's
yes,
okay.
Exactly. But I was just thinking about that. I bet she could answer that. And I was thinking, I wish we would do a canning class down here in Ridgeway. Maybe the Extension Service will jump on that. So
yeah, that's a
yeah,
good
that
idea.
And,
really
you know, my normal thing is just make liqueur. So whatever fruit
yeah.
is.
There you go.
Okay.
You know, no mistakes.
Right? Good idea.
All
thanks.
Right. Thank you, Sue.
Awesome, Sue.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Wow,
yeah,
see, that's a great idea.
It's a great idea, yeah.
I'll have to, what am I doing Saturday?
yeah, so if you need more information on that, you can go to kvnf.org. It's a class at the Cedar Edge Library, and forget the woman's name, but she's got a lot of experience, and they're going to do all kinds of things like canning
yeah.
and freezing and yep. all kinds of different
methods. Yeah,
it sounded
like a lot of neat stuff
yeah,
going on
yeah.
there.
Lots yeah, lots of great information, so check
yeah.
that out.
That you know, it's just really, it really is. I mean, there's just nothing like having your own food. There just isn't mm-hmm. anything better.
There
really.
Isn't. It just is such a...
It's kind of, it's addicting to get into it. And you have to eventually, like Sue just said, you have to eventually get to the point where, okay, it didn't work. Okay, so what? Figure it out. Do something else. Eat it with
make
your eggs.
Make
liquor
out
of it. Yeah, you know.
Liqueur.
Right. The jars that didn't make this morning with the pears, I had them on my cereal.
I had
pear jam on my cereal. You know, you just can't, you know, just break out of the mold and just eat it. Figure out a way.
It'll be good.
Yeah, it will be good. And it won't poison you either, especially jam. You know, you...
So much good jam and the elderberries. It just is mind-blowing to me this year.
For whatever reason.
It's blowing my mind.
Yeah. Me too. I mean, I don't get it. It's been amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about grapes, because one of our neighbors and fellow worms has the most amazing grape harvest going on over there. Just super fragrant and unbelievable. I'm not sure if they are Concord or Reliance,
Were they big clusters?
Clusters.
They're Reliance.
Yeah. Oh, my word. I've never seen something.
I don't know that they are, because the Reliance, you can't really do much with the Reliance except eat them right then. I've dried them. I've made them into jam. And actually, the very best thing you can do with them is to make... Reliance is to freeze them,
just as grapes.
Yeah, and then when you take them out and eat them, when it gets you know the following season, there it's like a little tiny grape popsicle. It's so good.
Ooh, I love it.
You know, so freezing them is. I can't remember what. Amber, are you listening? Call us. Let us know what you got in there. I can't believe she keeps the coons off them and stuff.
You know, Amber's got a lot of contraptions set up in her yard.
Yeah, I bet she does.
She keeps the coons out, the deer out, and the bears out of her honey. Yeah. I mean, she's really got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's set up.
Persistence.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, she's got it down.
Yeah. And Lance, you wanted to mention something about pruning the canes.
Oh, yeah. During the late summer and stuff, the... growth on grapes can be quite vigorous, and people sometimes don't like it, and they want to get them out of the way. And it's sort of sad because they need those leaves to ripen properly.
They need them, yeah.
Okay, so I know that the vineyards, when they want to ripen everything at the same time, they will prune the canes, but you have to leave 5 leaves beyond the cluster grapes to ripen those grapes.
So you can go at it, but you've got to have it.
But you got to do it. You got to be pretty precise. Okay. But I watched this thing on grapes in France, and there are most of the vineyards, they go along and they trim off the top, and they use a machine. Kidding. And then there was this one woman whose wine was renowned, and she had her people trim every vine by hand. Mm-hmm. And it took the other guys about 6 hours, and it took her 6 days.
Yeah.
You know.
But anyways, there's two things that can happen. Is if you prune too much off, then they get sunburned. Mm-hmm. So you have to really pay attention. You just can't go in there and hack and whack.
No.
Mm-hmm. You have to really pay attention.
No, you have to. But I have to laugh because when I was hacking and whacking this spring, when you're meant to, I saw where a vine was going way up into my hawthorn tree that's right next to the arbor. Uh-huh. So naturally I let it. Mm-hmm. So now I have grapes in my hawthorn tree, and people walk by and go, "What? What's that? How? Wait."
Yeah, I love that.
That's great.
That's bird food.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yep. The birds have been pretty good this year. They've backed off a little bit, and I've got the trap in there for the bad bees, the wasps. Mm-hmm. But today I had a couple of honeybees in there as well.
Oh, okay.
Not in the trap, but where the birds had pecked out a grape and made it so that the honeybee could get in. They were going for it. That's all right. Good. Grape-flavored honey. Purple honey.
Yeah. It's like a huckleberry honey.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? Okay. You guys should call us. Save us from ourselves.
527-4868-866.
KDNF now. Hey, but Don said he had hummingbirds still. Maryland.
Yeah, I wouldn't even.
That's about on the same, what do you call them when they go that way?
Latitude
as us. I think Washington, D.C. is on about the same as us.
So I haven't
looked. That makes sense.
Yeah, I can't remember. I could be hallucinating. Mm-hmm. But it is by the seashore. I mean, it is a different,
whole different migration.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be. So.
Hey, Jeff had a question about container plants that you might have outside, and his were specifically seedlings. He's got that maple seedling that took off for him, and a mountain mahogany plant.
Good.
So what do you do about that for winter? You know, maybe not big enough to put in the ground?
Well, you could plant it if you know where you want to plant it, or you can dig a hole and put the whole pot in the ground.
Put the whole pot
in. In the ground. And the reason why you want to do this is so it doesn't freeze dry. And, you know, and cover it up. And you can actually mulch it with whatever materials you have around.
Yeah, you can pile leaves on it. You can get some straw bales and break them open and pile it around them.
Yeah, but
just don't leave it exposed.
Yeah, don't leave it exposed.
And so if you put that in the ground, are you going to have to dig that up and
out of the container? It'll come right out of the ground.
It will come.
Oh, yeah.
And you might water it. You'll definitely water it when you put it in there so that the ground is moist around it. And if it's a dry winter, you might water it just a little bit once a month at best. And
this is a good time for the Redbud report. The Redbud is doing fabulous, but it's going to be a bush. I mean, it's got so many little...
Yeah, you know, died back on you.
I might have to decide, you know, who's going to survive and be a tree. Or I might just let it be a bush, but it's in a pot.
Yeah, nice. I seen where I got those. There's a volunteer, and it is a bush.
Oh, cool.
A big bush, about the size of a large lilac. Oh, but the whole thing blooms.
Wow.
And it's a volunteer, just left it there.
Wow. Yeah, okay, so. That makes me happy, because I'm thinking that's what I'm going to do with this. And the other thing is, you know, my peach tree was had so many peaches, it broke.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Big limbs. I mean, a big limb broke, and there's breakage all over the place. So you know what I've decided? I'm going to plant another peach tree out further away from the barn, because that one was leaning off the barn, going away from the barn anyway. I think I'm going to plant another. Then I thought, wow, wait a minute. Maybe I don't want to do another peach tree. I could do a nice shade tree. And I just...
Oh, that would change your garden up, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's back there by the chicken coop. So it's where... It's in that industrial zone where there's a lot of wood chips anyway.
Oh, that would be kind of nice.
Yeah. I'm starting to think maybe that the pet maple tree, because I have one that grew right near the arbor, the grape arbor. Maybe I'll put that back there.
Can't
decide whether I'm going to do it in the spring or now. I hate that. I just can't decide.
You can ponder while you're putting up peaches and pears.
Yeah, I can.
Okay, well, if you're going to dig something up now, you got to wait till the leaves are off or turn brown. Yeah, and in the spring you're going to dig it. It has to still be dormant.
Okay, so get your timing right on that.
Yeah, just you're late.
Right.
You're late in the spring because you've been in the skiing all winter.
Yeah, but by the time I come back, something like that, like a maple tree, is still, or the redbud is still going to be pretty dormant.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know your yard.
Yeah, especially there because it's on the west side of the barn. So it doesn't get the early morning rays, you know, so it'd probably be okay.
Hey, Dave here in Paonia is on the phone, has a question about hawthorn. Hi, Dave.
Oh, I love hawthorn.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hi.
Good.
What's going on?
Good. Well, we moved into a new house and it has two hawthorn trees. And we don't know what to do with those berries. We heard they're good for the heart, but we're not finding much about how many you should eat or how you preserve it or what you do with hawthorns. So since Lulu mentioned hawthorns, I thought we'd call in and just ask.
Good idea. If you dry them, first of all, they are good for your heart. And I think you just make a tea out of them. So, you know, just whatever the strength you might like, as if you were making a rose hips tea or something. And, and you know what else they're good for? It's hard. You got to have a really good, what do you call those? Embroidery, a big needle. A big thick needle. Mm-hmm. If you string them, they make the best decorations. You know how you string cranberries and popcorn?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, you could just string the hawthorns.
Yeah, sure.
And they,
okay.
Yeah, and you can hang them up and let them dry that way, too, to use as a tea. I did that once, and it worked really well.
Grind it up.
Yeah, and you just pull them off, you know, the string, and grind them or mush them or do whatever you want to do, figure it out, try a bunch of different stuff. And, yeah, they're good for your heart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call.
Bye. I had no hawthorns on my trees.
Oh, no kidding.
Zero.
Mine are just coming on really good. Yeah, it's gorgeous. Hey, we've got another call from James in Austin. Hello, James.
How's it going?
Good.
How are my favorite worms?
How's our favorite James?
Well, the worms are doing great.
I'm glad to hear that. I was just calling first and foremost. Love the show. I wish it were an hour long.
Thank you, James.
That being said, I imagine y'all have your gardens to tend to.
Yeah.
I had just a quick question. How has the year of the bug been going for y'all? Because I got grasshoppers, beetles, all manner of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I've been putting out what I would call sacrificial plants.
Decoy plants.
I'm just wondering how the worms are doing with this.
There's some good bugs this year.
I have absolutely nothing.
Now?
Yeah, me either.
No grasshoppers to speak of.
Oh, really?
Nothing?
Usually aphids start to show up on the brassicas, but I haven't even seen that yet.
Neither.
So I've had, but again, I keep on telling people, I have so many snakes, lizards, skinks, toads, that, and you know, whatever birds are coming through, that I really don't have any problems. You know, I'm part of the grasshopper thing is the turkey patrol outside the garden, so they don't get a chance to move in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I've got my hens, and they're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But, I was just wondering how y'all are going through this. I mean, the garden still looks good, but I was wondering how my favorite worms were doing.
Uh-huh.
Well, I got to tell you, we're surviving it. And I got to tell you, my biggest nemesis was the earwigs.
I was going to say earwigs, too.
Mm-hmm. Earwigs. Yeah. And
still seeing some.
Yeah, I still am too. There was one with its little head buried in one of the peaches I was fixing.
You know, I did have the earwigs and sow bugs in that one bed of carrots that was close to the compost area.
Yeah.
And but they've all grown out. They're doing just fine. Just fine, those carrots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much as always. Love y'all. Can't say enough about how much you help.
Well, okay.
thank you, James.
Thanks.
Good to hear from you.
Go KVNF.
Right.
Thanks.
Yay, KVNF.
All right. Have a good night.
You as well. Thanks,
thank
James.
You. Well, that's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you just got to just keep trying stuff and figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be shy and don't be afraid and just go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our friend Jane called to say, leave the hawthorn berries for the birds. They do love them.
I was going to mention that, but that's exactly what Jane, she has three of them.
Oh, does she really? Yeah, she loves those birds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, eat a little, pick a little, eat a little, pick a little.
This is just real quick. I'm going to go in, when I get home, even though it's going to be dark by the time, I'm going to go out and pick all my cherry tomatoes that are ready because they will split in the rain.
Oh.
So
I picked a bunch today.
Yeah. So if you haven't gone out there with this kind of moisture coming, go out there and pick your ripe tomatoes.
Excellent tidbit of information to go out on.
My San Marzanos are going to have to just bear with it.
You think?
Yeah, they will.
Okay. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to our callers tonight. Mm-hmm. And thanks to Lance and Lulu for passing out good information. How on Earth is coming up next, and we'll be back next Tuesday for another edition. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Right. Have a good evening.
Good night, everybody. Be kind.
To make a sign to, I gotta get that I love so low, little low and low.